Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 108. Yeah.
This episode really felt like we've been doing this for 108 episodes, you know?
Yeah. I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Alongside Otto von Ruthless.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm coming down from like a fairly stressful point of life, but I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So the theme around us watching this particular episode of Nitro is, God, I'm tired. Do you just want to watch it another time? I think we watched this together in like, in total, three different sittings. It's an hour and a half episode, and it took us three sittings to get through this.
Yes, you fell asleep on, or I guess technically we kind of opted out of one to go sleep, and then two, I was watching, I looked over, and I'm like, oh, she's out.
And I just kind of decided, you know what, fuck it, I will commit to sleeping, and I will watch it on my own, and I did.
Just because we didn't say it in last episode, happy pride to
happy
many
pride!
Of you. There's nothing gay about this episode, unfortunately.
Unfortunately not. It is so annoyingly heterosexual, almost.
Yeah.
It exudes, like, male grossness. I don't know.
And then a separate rest in peace to Hulk Hogan's Twitter. Poop brother.
Poop brother. Poop in my gym, brother.
Well, today we're here to talk about the March 22nd, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro.
Yes, we are, unfortunately.
Live from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and there's a point at the end of the show where you can tell it's live.
Yes. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, so this show was on an hour earlier because of the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. I guess the game started at 9.
So it should be said that this entire show ran unopposed. The entirety of the show.
Yes.
Will that make it better? No.
Well, ratings-wise, this show held steady, which is probably bad considering you were entirely unopposed.
Right. It should have had like a slight boost.
Yeah, I think it went down a touch, but like so little that it's a 3.
Yeah.
Raw, on the other hand, did a 7.1, up from like a 6-something last week.
And that was going opposed with the NBA Finals.
Yes, or it was the Western Conference Championship.
Oh, okay. I don't know basketball.
I know. The game coming on later is Lakers Trailblazers. I don't know. I think it's like game 5 or 6 or something. I don't know.
Apparently the Lakers lost pretty badly, right?
Yes. I was very surprised until I realized, oh no, I'm thinking of the Kings, not the Blazers. To add all of the disappointment for you, Emily, I have really no backstage notes.
I'm not surprised. This whole episode feels like it came out of no planning. So there shouldn't be any background notes.
It doesn't help that it's like we are in the middle episode of a 5-week build to a pay-per-view.
Oh my god. And this, like, we used to do these multi-week long builds at the beginning of the show. This feels so long.
Well, we also skipped around because we had the network.
We did skip around. We have committed to not skipping around at this point in the podcast, so I guess that those days are behind us.
Yeah, the only reason we would do the skipping around now is if we're like, wrap it up, we gotta go.
We need
go.
To be done.
Yeah.
Which is highly, highly, highly unlikely.
I did work out the timeline again, and it's like, all right, WrestleMania X7 is October 31st, 2026.
Wow.
So, we got some time.
We got plenty of time. Plenty of time and plenty of content.
So, Emily, this Nitro starts with a Thunder recap, mainly Ric Flair collapsing at the end of the show.
Yeah, so I guess this explains why he's not on our show tonight.
Yes.
Because, as far as I remember, the last time I saw Ric Flair, he won the championship.
Yes. Yeah, he, after a match, he, suddenly collapsed, and is it a work or is it a shoot, brother? And it's now a mix of both.
Oh.
I don't know. There's so many stories that it's like, is it real? Is it not? Nobody knows.
Oh.
But
I assumed it was all fake.
He wrestles at the Great American Bash,
yeah,
so he's fine.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking, this has to be fake.
It wasn't a heart attack. I've heard it's like an inner ear infection or something. But
that caused him to lose his balance.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Ric Flair will wrestle at the Great American Bash. It's fine.
Don't you worry. He'll be there.
Emily, I'm pretty sure he wrestles on the next Nitro.
Not surprised. Remember when I said when, regardless of whether or not he lost the retirement match, he wasn't retired?
Well, yeah. You meant that in a different way.
I mean it in all of the ways.
Backstage, we get a hearse arriving alongside a limo.
Yeah, a hearse.
In this group of people, Russo plans on having a funeral tonight for the end of Ric Flair's career.
Oh my god. And it has like the funeral march with everybody in black too. And Russo is like dabbing his eyes saying, why did it have to be him? Like they're really up in the melodrama on this.
But notably, Ric Flair has the WCW title. Like the actual one, not the one Daphne was carrying around last week. We then go to the opening pyro, and we see that there is a random circular cage sitting atop the ring.
Yeah, I've never seen a cage like this before. At least not in this era.
Yeah, the closest I can think of is, like, they did weird style cages for, like, Owen Hart, Steve Blackman, and Ken Shamrock's kind of collective feud. That's also where they went to the Hart family dungeon, and it's like, it's just a basement.
It's just... But Dungeon sounds cooler. Dungeon of Doom, brother.
So to emphasize the fact that we're on an hour earlier, we open with The Cat versus Booker.
Why?
Yeah, they did not have faith in their audience getting here on time.
So yeah, that was your theory of like, you didn't think that they were going to do much in this first hour because they didn't like expect people to remember it being an hour earlier?
That wasn't my theory going in, but after watching the first hour, I'm like, oh!
They didn't really do much of anything. I mean, it's a fair theory.
There were weapons in the ring at the start of the match for some reason.
Yeah, this was a weapons match, I guess?
Booker ducks a kendo stick shot and then hits a spin kick. Booker sends the Cat to the floor, who uses multiple weapons. The Cat uses riot batons and then switches to nunchucks. And the crowd actually still cares about Booker, but considering some of the piped-in chants later, I'm worried that might have been...
piped.
Yeah, but I mean, like, visually, they looked interested.
It's hard to tell. This was a weird crowd.
The Cat continues with weapon shots. Booker hits punches but gets low-blowed, so the Cat hits even more weapon shots to a down Booker. Booker eventually hits a bookend, but the Cat rakes the eyes. We get a Harlem sidekick and a very sloppy spin-a-rooney. Booker grabs a kendo stick and works over the Cat until Sean Stasiak, the perfect one, interferes. You had no idea who this was.
Oh, no, I recognized him. I'm getting slightly better because he came out with Tammy, right? Not in this first match.
Chris Candido comes out with Tammy.
Son of a bitch. I'll get there.
Do I need to get another signed photo?
No.
I can get one with him in PMS.
I'm good.
But yeah, so Sean Stasiak is here. Booker fights him off until he's hit with a cartwheel kick from the Cat into a chair into the face of Booker that gets the Cat the pin. So yeah, the Cat just beat Booker T.
Of all the things that I thought were going to happen in this episode, I don't think I ever thought that that Booker T was going to lose to the Cat. I thought this was going to be a quick, easy, get-it-done match. Like, a squash match, basically, where Booker just takes it.
Misfits in action make the save and the heels bail. Eric Bischoff then comes out with Kimberly, and Bischoff says a whole lot of nothing, but it offers a clean slate to the Misfits in action, along with the opportunity to join the New Blood.
Yeah, he says something along the lines of, like, this was never about you. Like, we can make something work with you. You can work with us. I don't know.
Yeah. It's basically just an offer so they can establish that they are indeed faces and turn them down.
Yes, exactly.
Because General Erection says they have three words for them. Kiss our ass.
You just signed your death warrant.
And then Major Guns pulls her butt out.
Great. That's a segment. Yeah. What a show. This is how we're starting the show. What a show to get our gears going.
Yeah, in ring-wise, it was just like mostly the Cat hits Booker on the ground with a weapon. Like,
yes.
There wasn't much going on here. Outside, the Millionaires Club arrive, and at least most of them, because they note that Kevin Nash is late. And did you catch Sting's line here?
I did not.
That's his gimmick. That's his gizimmick.
Oh, I did catch gizimmick, yes.
Which, according to Hulk Hogan, that's what kayfabe is.
Kayfabe. Is being late a gimmick?
For Bret Hart, it was.
Is that a gimmick?
No, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
It's a trait about a person.
It is a personality trait, not a gimmick.
Emily's gimmick is she's very sleepy.
Yes.
Backstage, Booker gets fired by Eric Bischoff. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, why?
But he also says, oh, I can't fire the other Misfits in action. You did. They are fired.
It's like he doesn't watch his own show. Well, he doesn't watch his own show. It's like he doesn't write his own show. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. He's not paying attention is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there is some debate to this day about how much Eric Bischoff is writing the show versus just going, Vince, whatever you want, it's fine. Because that's a big Vince Russo complaint was that during this whole thing, Russo would write the show and then Eric Bischoff would only complain when things went badly after the fact.
Oh, okay.
By the way, this story will continue on Thunder, and it's the moment I was worried about.
You're worried about a lot of moments. I don't even know which one you're referring to.
Booker gets a fun new gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
Elsewhere backstage, Vince Russo preps Flair's casket with the pricks, fuck? I wrote. I don't even know who the pricks involves at this point.
What the fuck?
But I did write the pricks and Daphne and Crowbar. They are not part of the
pricks. They are not the pricks.
Daphne and Crowbar argue over who is champion. I think it's here where we see the inside of the casket for the first time.
Yeah.
Where there's just a very large nose.
So I didn't get this.
He's got a big nose, don't he?
Is his nose that comically large?
That's his gizimic, Emily.
No, it's not. That's Triple H's gizimic. I never look at Ric Flair and think like, wow, that's a schnoz on him. Like, never once.
I'm so happy Ric Flair is not Jewish because that would add very different vibes to this segment.
Woohoo! No.
No, woo-wings!
He is not Jewish.
Somewhere else backstage, Terry Taylor and Reed Flair arrive. Emily has no idea who Terry Taylor is.
Is this the man's wearing glasses?
No.
God, that's
J.J. Dillon.
Who the fuck is this
guy?
Where
the fuck did J.J. Dillon go?
That's a great question. Is that a great question? Do we care? Do we really care? But no, why do I know Terry Taylor?
He's just around everything. We've talked about him on here before.
I'm sure. I know his name. His name is in my brain.
Yeah, he's just a backstage producer who he's worked like every fucking company under the sun.
Okay. But yeah, he's here with Reed, the youngest Flair.
So, I don't know what caused this, but I'm going to read my next note verbatim. Commentary checks in as Mark Madden is a cunt.
He's probably making some shitty comment about Reed, or maybe about, like...
Probably Rick and Death of Careers and whatever.
Probably Terry Funk, maybe.
Yes, because...
He's a dick.
Yes, because Scott Hudson says, like, okay, you know, we have basically confirmation, or we have soft confirmation that Terry Funk is going to retire tonight.
He has a large announcement that he wants to be making tonight. We assume it is retirement.
In the actual ring, we get Daphne coming out, and she grabs a mic, and then she calls out Crowbar. Like, we're going to, you know, figure out who the actual Cruiserweight champion is.
She calls him childish.
She also says that Crowbar ripped the head off her Barbie dolls and then pissed in her suitcase. I'm like, what? So it's Crowbar versus Daphne for sole custody of the Cruiserweight title. And this match starts with thumb wrestling and then rock, paper, scissors.
I love it. I think it's great. It's Barry, yeah. Daphne, Crowbar to start.
A bit.
It is.
They didn't stick with it. I wish they had,
if they had done a full match of thumb wrestling and like they were both really fucking into it, I would have been down. Best bit.
Like a double thumb hold and then you hold the shoulders in that.
Yeah.
It's no musical chairs. DDT from Daphne and Miss Hancock comes out.
Of course she does.
Crowbar goes for a top rope Frankensteiner, but suddenly stops. Daphne then gives Crowbar a wedgie and then hits a Frankenscreamer. Crowbar hits a slingshot splash, and Chris Candido runs in to attack Crowbar with Tammy. Daphne attacks Tammy. Crowbar hits a German suplex on Candido. Candido hits a dropkick to a chair to Crowbar, and then a tombstone on the chair. The referee is letting it go.
Just let it happen.
He is openly interfering in this match.
Yes. But it's fine.
Daphne then pins Crowbar and wins sole custody of the title. Where the fuck did Miss Hancock go?
Did she leave? I mean, she must have left, obviously.
They managed to kill my joy on this. I did not like this.
I mean, this whole first bit of the show was just kind of... It wanted to be more than it was. It really fell flat in every aspect. Like, this match could have been good. Did they have a match last episode, too?
They won the title in a tag team match.
Right, and that was a good match. And, like, they worked well together.
I think it was my best bit.
Yeah, I think it was mine, too.
No? You're something else. I forget what.
It was a good bit. I don't know.
She was your MVP.
There you go. This had legs to be so much better. It had legs for days.
The problem is, yeah, they got cut off of the legs. They just like went, okay, Daphne, you're not going to do any wrestling outside of one move.
Come on.
You know, she's not a Dean Malenko, but like she can go a little bit. Let her do something.
And we've established that Crowbar can carry anything to a good match.
Yeah.
So he could have made this really fun. And we were just not allowed that privilege.
But yeah, so Daphne is now the sole title holder for the Cruiserweight title.
Good for her.
I do not imagine that's going to last long.
No. Will this make it to the Great American Bash?
Even if it does, that title ain't going on pay-per-view, baby.
This will be a Thunder loss, if anything.
Yeah, maybe the next Thunder.
Maybe.
Backstage, the Kid Cam is back.
What?
I remember thinking about that. I'm like, oh yeah, the Kid Cam just
vanished.
I've
not thought about it since we last saw it.
But it's Tori massaging Horace Hogan.
She's being unfaithful. How could you cheat on Billy Kidman with Horace Hogan?
I think I forgot to mention that last Thunder, Hulk Hogan like forcibly kisses Tori. But then she smiles afterward, like, oh my god, she liked it. Yeah.
Ew, what an icky angle.
In the parking lot, Booker says to stay tuned for next week because he'll be back. I'm like, you were just fired. Again, he's on Thunder. Norman, Smiley, and Ralphus are outside washing cars for a dollar as part of their we need money gimmick.
Yeah. See, that's a gimmick. We need money.
How are they getting from town to town?
Are they just like sneaking onto buses?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's not part of the kayfabe, but Ralphus was a truck driver for WCW.
So. Oh, so he still has access to the trucks.
Are they not paying him for that?
I guess not.
We'll get a little bit more of these two throughout the night. Backstage, Kidman is pissed about losing Tori, and Eric Bischoff has no control, but he makes Tori the ref for an upcoming Kidman versus Horace match, which is basically about to start, because then they...
Yeah.
Kidman and Horace brawl towards the ring. Match officially starts. Kidman hits Kidman faction on the floor. Tori is wearing a very big referee shirt. They clearly thought of this a little too late.
Yeah, this came up like last night, or maybe in the last hour. Like, wouldn't it be funny? She looked cozy, though, at least.
You'd associate oversized clothes with cozy. Kidman counters a suplex, but eats a big boot and a choke slam. Eric Bischoff is on commentary and suddenly drops the stipulation that if Hulk Hogan loses at the Great American Bash, he will retire. I'm like, okay, so he's winning. Got it.
Yeah, but again, even if he loses, he's not going to retire. He's not retiring. That's not even a spoiler.
No matter who wins, we lose.
Yes, exactly.
Horace Hogan grabs a table and sets it up in the ring. Kidman counters a powerbomb with a face jam.
Face buster.
No one cares because Hulk Hogan starts coming out. I'm like, god damn it.
It was nice to see it again, though.
Hogan throws Kidman through Horace on the table. Hulk then makes Tori count Kidman pinning Horace because he's going to help the guy he's facing at the pay-per-view win a match.
I don't know, yeah. Man. I don't know. I think this is just an excuse to get Kidman versus Hogan. Or a Hogan, I guess.
Yeah. Hulk immediately grabs a mic and he says it doesn't matter who the ref is at the pay-per-view. He's going to beat Kidman, you piece of shit. I'm like,
oh, God.
Who is the ref at the pay-per-view?
It's probably gonna be a fucky ref. It's gonna be fucking Russo or something.
I mean, it was Bischoff at the last one, yeah. And Hogan still won. So yeah, Hulk Hogan just continues to be better than Billy Kidman.
Classic.
Yeah. I totally believe Hulk's gonna lose and retire after Great American Bash. Backstage. Jesus, there's a lot of stuff backstage.
Yeah, you've said backstage like 5 times already.
Vince Russo, David Flair, and Jeff Jarrett prep a casket with a big nose in it. And Russo throws Rick's watch in it. This is where we see the nose the first time.
Okay. And there's a robe in there, too. I think there's, sure, like a blue sparkly robe.
Ooh, that, yeah. I didn't give this angle the... I put the amount of effort into the notes this angle as they gave the angle.
Sure, that's valid.
In the parking lot, the Filthy Animals arrive scraping the fuck out of their bumper in a lowrider. Like, they were going for the hydraulics, but it's like, you're just
scratching up your car.
Yeah. Norman and Ralphus want to wash it, and... we see the Misfits in action, sneakily see this.
Take notes.
Yeah, we'll get more on this later.
Aren't you riveted? Don't you want to know what happens next?
We get Terry Funk coming out to the ring in a tux, a bandana, and cowboy boots. Quite the look.
Prior to this entrance, though, Tony Schiavone is like on commentary. He's just, he could not give less of a fuck either. He's like, oh, there's Misfits in action. Oh, anyway, like... Tony Schiavone is so over this, and this poor man still has another year.
He's not part of the Who Killed WCW documentary.
Because he doesn't want to be associated anymore.
Yeah, he's like, what are we doing at this point?
It's dead. Let it die. But yeah, Terry Funk is in the ring now. He looks great. Looks all spiffy.
Everyone is like, okay, he's retiring. And Funk says he's here tonight to make a big announcement and notes that his daughter is here and his wife is watching. We didn't get Eric Bischoff suddenly backstage like, all right, go stop him. Like,
why are we stopping him? In.
Also, you want the hardcore title. So, like,
yeah, stopping him
retiring
from
is great. Funk then says he told every member of his family to, like, watch tonight and literally goes, like, one by one. I told my cousin Bill. I told my cousin Oscar. Shane Douglas and the New Blood then come out, and it's basically the epitome of the Monty Python joke of get on with it.
It is.
Terry Funk then tells the crowd to say hell yes if they want to hear what the announcement is.
Like, no, what he says is, I want y'all to say something that I think I've heard said before somewhere else. Give me a hell yeah.
No, he says hell yes. But Funk says the news is that he's a grandpa and it's a boy.
Wow.
And then Shane Douglas is like, just fucking say you're retired, okay? just retire, old man.
Why won't you die?
Funk says that Grandpa shouldn't be wrestling and says that he will be retiring on June 1st.
Bear in mind, it is May 22nd. So this could be like, this is like next week.
Of 2001.
What? They don't get that far.
Yeah, he signed a contract extension with Brad Siegel, who is like barely ever been mentioned on WCW television. He's just a higher up of like the network.
Sure. And, Fear not, viewers. We have Terry Funk until June 1st of next year. There will totally be a show for him to be on, and we should totally be watching it.
So sorry, Shane. You can't have the hardcore title. So the New Blood attack Terry Funk. Douglas pile drives Funk onto a chair. So his daughter comes in the ring to beg him to stop, but Douglas pushes her away. Chris Candido DDTs Funk on a chair, and then we get another pile driver on the chair from Douglas. Shane Douglas pins Funk with Chris Candido counting. Except I swear Terry Funk kicks out.
Did he?
He gets a shoulder up. Like it might have been a 3.1, but I swear he does it too early. But they're like, whatever. Shane Douglas wins.
Fuck you.
So Shane Douglas takes the hardcore title, poses with it, and they get the EMTs coming out for Funk. I don't get the point of this segment.
No, I think it was just supposed to be like a fuck you kind of thing to put Terry Funk over a little bit more.
I guess. I mean,
establish him more as a face against the heel group. And he's a granddad. We love that.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Well, it's not even like they're doing it like in his hometown or something. Like that, I kind of would have gotten that. Like, you're doing it in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Like, okay. But yeah, I mean, I guess that counts official, and Shane Douglas is now the hardcore champion.
Woo.
Yeah. The only people who would say that doesn't count are Russo and Bischoff, and they're not going to say shit.
Obviously, the titles don't really mean a lot to them, but like about who's holding them and, you know, the sanctity of the transfer. So, we'll get there. You know, whatever.
In the parking lot, the Misfits in action distract Norman, Smiley, and Ralph as to switch out the wash buckets with paint buckets. I'm sure wackiness is going to ensue.
Chaos will definitely ensue. You can totally tell the difference between soapy water and paint, though. That is a different viscosity.
We then see Mike Awesome driving an ambulance while wearing like a medical halo.
This medical halo thing, this is like, it looks so ridiculous. I don't think this exists current day anymore, in this fashion at least, because it looks like archaic almost.
Well, we then see a brief clip of Canyon talking about his injuries and how he's like hoping to walk again, like kind of a big downer on that.
Right?
And then Mark Madden asks a question that he probably shouldn't raise. Is like, are we still paying Canyon?
Don't ask that question.
Yeah, like, you are kind of famous for firing people via FedEx while they're injured.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't. Like, you do that to Bret Hart later this year. You did that to the British Bulldog. You do that to a lot of people. And you're notably not paying people who are injured. Like, not even like, oh, they're fired. Like, oh, you're missing time, so you get paid less now.
This whole Canyon section, though, is just, it breaks my heart a little bit, because he is really selling this well of like, yeah, I might not ever come to the ring ever again. He literally says, it's not a when I return to wrestling, it's an if. So obviously, I don't know if this is a work or a shoot.
He wasn't even saying that about wrestling, he said that about walking.
Oh, okay. Still, yeah. Like, this is just heartbreaking. So the fact that we're like, are we even paying this guy? Like, fuck you.
I have a terrible theory that I think will happen.
Oh, no.
What keeps happening to GDP?
His wife keeps...
Everyone keeps turning on him. Is Canyon going to come back and immediately turn on DDP and be like, I was trying to help you and I almost got paralyzed?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's very Vince Russo.
That sounds right.
And then the Jersey Boys explode.
The Jersey Boys. Oh, I miss Bam Bam.
He's still employed.
Where? We're talking about, are we paying Canyon? Are we paying Bam Bam?
So Mike Awesome comes out to the ring in a wheelchair and a halo to cut a mocking promo about Canyon. He does stand up to get out of the wheelchair to get in the ring, and Mark Madden did make me chuckle a little bit because he goes, it's a miracle! Shut up.
It was kind of funny.
Awesome gets in the ring and keeps taunting Canyon, and then we get the Walls music hitting. And
that's the wall, brother!
Apparently, it's a match. And not just a match, a quote, tables versus ambulance match.
What the fuck? We are really throwing spaghetti at the wall here, guys. Like, you just found two words, and you're like, yep. That's what it is.
Yeah, the ambulance part literally never plays a factor in this match, so no, I don't know what once. That would have been.
Not even one time.
We get some quick big man moves to start. The wall hits a lame running power slam, and we go to the corner. Awesome tries for an awesome bomb from the corner, but the wall counters. But then Awesome hits a back body drop to the wall, to the floor, through a table, and wins. Like, oh.
It was so quick.
Yeah. Just, Well, again, I thought the ambulance would be a thing. So yeah, it's like, oh, it's just over.
If he set up the stipulation of tables versus ambulance, you'd think at least there'd be a shot of the ambulance.
The Wall gets up and attacks Mike Awesome almost immediately. Shane Douglas's music hits, and the Wall doesn't react to this at all. So Shane Douglas hits a lead pipe shot on the Wall, and then they take the Wall to the back. DDP suddenly emerges from, like, the back of an ambulance and attacks the heels. Mike Awesome is thrown in this ambulance, and then we just see the ambulance leave, like, just hard cut to an ambulance leaving, as the Wall beats down Shane Douglas, and that's it.
In the end.
Just, what?
I don't know, man.
I don't know what was meant to happen or meant to take away from anything, but cool.
I don't fucking know. Good chat. Good times. Yeah, good plans.
Listen, we all heard what happened.
What?
And to add to the what the fuck was this? We saw the ambulance leave. Cut to the New Blood, including Mike Awesome walking with
Mike Awesome's
fucking,
in that ambulance? No, he's not.
Walking with the casket. Because you were like, is that Mike Awesome? Like, no. Babe, it's Chuck Palumbo. He's like, hold on, rewind. I'm like, oh, wait, what the fuck? He's there too.
You have been so quick to discount me remembering wrestlers that you like immediately thought, oh, she doesn't know who this person is. It's probably fucking Scott Norton. No, sometimes I know.
Yeah, the match part of this was passable, fine. You know, it was
a 30-second match. Yeah, match?
Yeah, they did moves and didn't fuck him up.
I guess. Wow, the bar is on the floor. The bar is underground.
Look, they at least took bumps in this match. I can't say the same for one of the later matches.
I guess.
In the parking lot, Ralphus pours the white paint on the Filthy Animals car, and commentary, for some reason, like doesn't know it's paint. They're like, oh, it's like pretty foamy.
It's not foamy, it's paint.
Yeah.
Guys.
I don't know, man.
Why are we trying to sell this like it's something else? Come on.
It's time for the funeral. It's Vince Russo, David Flair, and Jeff Jarrett coming out to a funeral march. Russo has the WCW title on his shoulder, and they say that they're here for the death of Ric Flair's career. Russo asks for the footage of Flair collapsing on Thunder, where it looks very casual.
Just kind of falls to his knees.
Russo then says that Flair had an aneurysm, and Tony's like, yeah, that's not confirmed.
A crazy allegation, or just a crazy thing to say, because that is very scary.
Yeah, I think he says brain aneurysm.
Yeah, he does.
So Russo, Russo notes the Russo sucks chants that are happening, but says that he has the WCW title, and he just awards it back to Jeff Jarrett. This is title change number 15 on the year.
This is not how the title change should happen, though.
Yes, it is counting this as vacating and then awarding to Jarrett.
I have such a huge problem with that, like, for so many reasons. Awarding the title to anybody should not happen. Like, you shouldn't, like, the company head should, like, the only other time I can think of this happening is when, it was when Asuka got pregnant, right? And she had to give it to Becky?
Flip.
Vice versa. When Becky got pregnant and she gifted the title to Asuka, who she had the match with, right?
No.
No. Okay, I'm misremembering a lot of this.
Asuka won Money in the Bank, and inside Money in the Bank was the title. Wait, so she still won a match for
Okay. So, no, like, that still counted, though. That worked.
The other couple times I can think of is, I mean, it's always been heel authority figure awarding the belt to heel. Mm. Eric Bischoff did it with Triple H. Vince McMahon did it with Randy Orton after John Cena got hurt. Vicky Guerrero probably did it to Edge once or twice.
But it should never be played for, like, this is legitimate.
It always is.
Ugh.
But all the ones I'm thinking of, it's, like, been clearly stated the title is vacant and not right. Just, here you go.
I have it now. Like, yeah, there was never a moment where it was announced properly. Ric Flair is injured. He can no longer hold this title. The title has been vacated. There needed to be that designation of what happened.
Well, surely Jeff Jarrett will clear this all up in a great promo.
Absolutely.
Let me just check my notes. Mm-hmm. He's the chosen one. So then Vince Russo says he's going to bury Ric Flair's Rolex with his career.
That sounds right.
Jeff Jarrett's so unimportant.
What is he doing? Why is he here?
Oh, God.
He's the fucking champion. And we're like, what? Who? Checks notes. Who is this guy? Like,
again, like, he can wrestle.
Yes,
like,
he can wrestle well.
I think Jeff Jarrett at this point is a 3 or 4 time WCW champion after winning the belt for the first time at Spring Stampede.
Jesus.
Yeah. But Russo goes to put Ric Flair's Rolex in the casket. And for some reason, he, like, digs under something to reveal that Kevin Nash is in a false bottom of the casket for some reason.
Why? Again, so many questions. Why is there a false bottom to a casket? Why is Kevin Nash in there? How long has he been in there? What was his plan?
Yeah, didn't Russo and them bring the casket?
They rolled it down the ramp.
No, I'm saying they came with a hearse.
It was in the hearse. Oh, my God. How long has he been in this? He
plays the long game, brother.
Jesus.
Nash takes out all three men and grabs the WCW title and takes it to the back. And we'll get more on this later. But again, this is title change number 15.
Jesus.
Like, it's 14 and 15 on the year.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
They really want you to keep you on your toes, I guess. Or something.
Backstage, we get a new female interviewer with Vince Russo and Jeff Jarrett. Russo says that Nash better give the title back by the end of the night. And it's like, we don't really learn anything about this random new woman until later.
Mm. Yeah, I don't have a note of her talking to them.
Well, Russo barely said anything. He's like, you better give it back. It's like, no. Okay. How about no?
How about I don't?
We then get Scott Steiner coming out with his usual ladies plus a new one.
Is she new?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure? You fight me every week. You fight me every single time I say this is a new lady. Are you sure she's new?
Well, she's also definitely new because she's the only one who missed the memo about their costumes this week.
Maybe she wasn't given a costume.
Yeah, she's in like all leather and Shakira and Medeja are in cheerleader outfits.
Are you sure it's Shakira and Medeja?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Steiner cuts a best at sex in Michigan promo. This was a little more localized.
He's from Michigan though, right?
I forget if he's actually from there, but he went to University of Michigan, okay. So yeah. That's the big thing with the Steiner brothers.
I liked his line in it, though.
Was it how he's also able to be tender?
No, there's nothing finer. Nothing finer than doing the 69er with Scott Steiner.
But hey, he like finally addressed foreplay and aftercare, it kind of seemed like.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Good. That makes more, like, I'm happy for these women, whoever they are.
Again, two of them are the same ones we're always seeing.
So. Yeah, right.
Nice try.
I think I know.
What Steiner says, he's been out of control for his whole life, but he's always survived, and references the cage above the ring. It's like, oh yeah, that's still
right,
here.
Right, duh.
Steiner says that like all the matches in this cage now are going to be I Quit matches. I'm what? Like, oh, is this a thing going forward? You're going to bring this cage to all the shows?
Oh, I hope not. I missed that line. I hope that's not something that happens.
Scott then calls out his brother and Tank Abbott, but only Rick Steiner comes out for a match, I guess.
I guess. Oh, bummer. No Tank. No Tank on the show. Bummer.
So, this is apparently called The Asylum, is this cage.
Yeah, because Rick would not last an hour in the asylum that they were raised.
They were raised together.
They raised it.
This is where they went to school, both of them. The Asylum lowers while they fight, and Rick hits a belly-to-belly. And the Asylum's like halfway down, and Rick's like, what the fuck, a cage? Like, wait, what?
Look up.
Why are you surprised by this? And the cage all the way lowers, and I think they very quickly realize, oh, this is very small. Because Scott Steiner goes to hit his like rotating belly to belly, and in the middle of the final part is like, oh, fuck, I'm at the edge. It has to like kind of drop Rick.
Ugh.
So Scott goes to lock in the Steiner recliner on Rick, and we hear Goldberg's music hitting. But instead, it's Tank Abbott doing the whole Goldberg entrance with bolt cutters. Except it's not Tank Abbott, Emily. Who is it?
Well, because Tank's not in the show. But Tankberg is.
He gets a Tankberg graphic.
He gets the whole Goldberg entrance with R&B security. He gets the graphic that says Tankberg. His name moving forward is apparently Tankberg.
So he comes out to the ring with the bolt cutters and tries to cut the cage like twice. And the bowl cutters have no effect, much like using sludge bomb on a beldum.
Wow. It's been a minute. I feel like it's been a minute since you've done one of those.
Tank Abbott.
As soon as you say no effect, I know what's happening.
Tank Abbott grabs the pickle from a guy at ringside. In case you're curious, a pickle is the control for chain motors that will raise and lower cages and all that.
Okay.
I don't know why it's called a pickle.
It's a very stupid name.
He's Pickle Tank.
Pickle Tank. It's funny shit I've ever seen.
Tank Abbott turned himself into Tankberg. Funniest shit I've ever seen. There is a man named Rick in this segment, too.
I know. He's not Pickle Rick, though.
They should have flipped this so the Tank was in the ring. That way he could be Pickle Rick.
God.
But anyway, so he raises the cage to attack Scott, but Kevin Nash lumbers out to the ring with the WCW title. Nash fights off both men with one belt shot each, and commentary notes that Scott Steiner's not with the Millionaires Club, so wonder if Nash is trying to recruit him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this was a segment.
So how do you feel about this cage?
Clearly, they were told about it on the day because they don't have any fun plans with it. I don't necessarily hate it in a vacuum.
I fear it's far too small for what any amount of work that they might want to do in this. They can't really do their like suplexy moves because there's just not enough space.
Yeah, you need this to be like a mat wrestling gimmick where it's like you can't, you know, there's literally nowhere to go. But yeah, this just feels restrictive and not fun.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of faith in any of the match combinations that can come out of any of this.
No. Oh my God, no. This is all going to be like close one-on-one punches in these cages.
Oh, I just meant in general, not even the cage, just like Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner, Tank Abbott, and Goldberg. I'm like, I'm not super excited for any combination of that.
I just want Goldberg to come back so he can just demolish Tank and be done with it.
I can give you confirmation that that match happens on Nitro, not at the pay-per-view.
Jesus, really?
Yep.
Wow.
I think it like opened the
Who
show.
Who killed too. WCW?
Backstage, the new interview is waiting on Kevin Nash.
I'm waiting on Kevin Nash. Kevin! Nash.
Hey.
Oh, Pamela.
And you are Pamela Paulshock.
Pamela.
That just sounds Pamela. Like a porn name.
What is going on? Where did this girl come from? What casting agency? What modeling agency? Because it's not the talent agency, that's for damn sure. What is she? Who is she? Is she a Steiner lady?
So Emily, she's apparently from Baltimore.
Hey, girl. Where you at?
And yeah, she was just a bikini and fitness model and somebody hired her. Oh, she was the 2000 Miss WCW Bikini Contest winner.
Sure.
Which I actually might be after this. I couldn't find much on her. Apparently, she's like loosely attempted an acting career. She's a female extra in Big Fat Liar.
Oh.
And some named character in The X-Files.
Okay.
Brittany.
Good for her. I hope she's thriving.
But yeah, she's just hot woman for people to ogle. Because Kevin Nash is fucking ogling the shit out of this woman.
Oh yeah, and he's very obvious about it too.
Kevin Nash then pitches him versus Jeff Jarrett for the title later. And then mildly harasses her a little more before leaving.
Like, it is mild. It is mild. Yeah,
but she does not seem into it. It's not like, no, ooh, big sexy. It's true. Like, don't fucking touch me.
Leave me alone. Turn it off. Don't fucking touch me.
So I guess we have a main event. And then elsewhere backstage, Terry Taylor and Reed Flair are still here. Remember them?
Yep, they're still kicking.
But next we get Chuck Palumbo versus DDP.
Oof.
Why?
Why not? Why not?
Palumbo has very generic music.
So is this Chuck's music or is this the New Blood's music?
This is Chuck's music,
because
I guess.
The New Blood graphic is on the screen.
Yeah, because he's no Titantron yet. I don't know that there really is New Blood music.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone comes out with like a leader or something and they do that.
Weird. Yeah, but it is the most generic thing I've ever heard. And I say that about a lot of music on this show, but wow, is this generic.
So, Chuck Palumbo's whole thing is, look how fucking built and muscular I am. DDP looks better than Chuck Palumbo.
Oh my God, yes. And it's like, not really a competition. Yeah, so
he looks bigger and in better shape.
Chuck Palumbo, I believe, might be taller than...
I don't even think he is.
Is he not? His legs are so long, but they're also so thin. Like, I would never say that he doesn't have muscular legs, but they are not nearly as jacked as the rest of his body. So it kind of just makes him look
DDP's
spindly.
Arms look bigger. It's like, every part of DDP looks better. But
because of his legs and the height that Chuck Palumbo has, and the fact that he's only wearing the diaper, not the tights, it makes him look, like,
the
weaker.
Diaper?
The undies.
The trunks.
The undies.
DDP works over Palumbo with big moves to start. We get a sit-up powerbomb to some DDP chants. Palumbo gains the advantage for a second, but then gets slapped by Liz at ringside. Oh yeah, Liz is with Chuck Palumbo because kidnapping.
Why does this woman keep getting kidnapped?
I think it's mostly the same kidnapping.
But she keeps getting saved and then not saved.
Yeah, which get used to that.
God, I'm tired of her.
We got double clothesline. Both men are down. Kimberly Page saunters out to the ring and hits Liz across the back with a baseball bat. Like Jesus.
Yeah, like hard too.
We get a Uranagi to Chuck Palumbo, but the referee is suddenly gone. Mike Awesome comes through the crowd while holding the medical halo and has to, like, struggle to get it into the ring. And he hits DDP with it, who just has to stand there and go, oh no.
Ow.
Palumbo then locks in the torture rack, and the ref just like, eh, it's over. Like, clearly no submission. Like, didn't even bother, like, checking DDP. Like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, it's fine. He's fine.
Lex Luger is suddenly here to check on Liz as the heels work over DDP. Lex has the choice to help DDP or take Liz. Lex opts to help DDP, but Kimberly stops him, and Palumbo hits a muscle flexor shot, apparently to Lex's face, because, like, oh my god, his face is, like, mangled. Look at all this blood.
Jesus.
Actually, was his face Jesus.
Bloody?
There's blood-soaked towels over his face, so.
I guess, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, Lex's face is now apparently completely busted. I'm Can we see it? Just, no.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he just got hit in the face, like, at the right angle and it broke his nose. And it was, like, gushing blood. No?
No. Okay. No. This is an angle.
Okay. I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Because post-commercial, they're, like, putting Lex in an ambulance. No. And they're like, oh, my God, his face is... Like, I was waiting for somebody to, like, look at his face and then, like...
Oh, my God.
Do one of those, like, oh, my God, it's so hideous. Kimberly taunts Lex Luger. God, this show is pointless.
This show sucks.
We get Ric Flair's music hitting for Terry Taylor and Reed Flair coming out to the ring. Reed Flair does not have the promo skills yet. He asks for David to come out to the ring, and Terry Taylor keeps prompting him very visibly to say this line.
Say it again. No, say it like this. No, say it again. Like, so he says, like, David, come out here. I need to say something to you. He says that line three different times, three different ways. This kid's 12. We can cut him some slack.
Yeah. David, Flair, and Daphne come out. Reed apologizes to David, but Daphne knocks out Terry Taylor with a Statue of Liberty toy. How many of these fucking things do they have?
They obviously have too many, and obviously enough to, like, warrant a box. So maybe someone should go into Daphne's, like, locker room and maybe get rid of them. I don't know. Just a thought.
Reed Flair low blows David and then takes him down. The crowd popped big for that.
Reed's a better worker than David.
David Flair locks in a figure four on 12-year-old Reed.
This is the floppiest figure four I've ever done seen.
Tony Schiavone is disgusted on commentary.
Well, I mean, you should be. Like, again, this is a 12-year-old in a submission hold that we are being led to believe should be pretty detrimental. Like, he's taking it like they're just playing around at home. Like, they probably did.
So, I think I mentioned last episode, this was supposed to be longer. This was supposed to be, like, a long protracted beatdown. They're like, God. Absolutely not.
He's 12.
I was trying to think of, like, what else has, like, a child been involved physically in an angle? And the only time I can think of is...
Custody of Dominic?
He didn't get involved physically in that.
Oh, I guess not.
No, Goldberg's son. I think it was, like, 16 at the time.
Oh.
It was Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley attacks Goldberg after the bell. And Goldberg's son jumps on Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley just, like, instinctually, like... Flips him over, puts him into the thing. MVP is managing Bobby Lashley. Like, well, we didn't know it was a kid. You know, reacted the way you would if your client just attacked a child. But also, you know, like, that's a full Nelson. That's very easy to not.
Yeah.
You know.
But no, Reed did well, like, with the ring work, at least in this.
Yeah,
he
sold a little bit of the leg getting up.
Yeah. He sold as much as a 12-year-old can sell.
But, like, this whole thing was just, like, 2 minutes, maybe?
It was very quick.
Yeah.
After all that buildup, I think we saw more backstage shots of Reed and Terry Taylor than
same
more
with
time.
The funeral, too. It's like...
Yeah.
Feels like you could have merged those segments.
There was a lot of build for not a lot of payoff.
Yeah, like, I feel like you could have had Reed come out during the funeral and then have Kevin Nash save him and accomplish both things at once.
Yeah. It's almost like this show is booked badly.
Well, would a poorly booked show have Vampiro versus Hulk Hogan?
I cannot express to you how confused I was when this match started.
Yeah, there's not context for any match on this show.
Why is Hulk Hogan going against Vampiro?
Yeah, normally I'm a little more forgiving of, like, you know, competitive matches, whatever. But, like, everyone's so deep in certain stories that it's like, why the fuck are you doing this match?
Yeah.
But how will Hulk Hogan put over the formerly proclaimed wrestler of the future?
Was Vampiro the wrestler of the future?
According to Hogan.
Oh, wow.
Because remember... It was the same episode of That's the Wall, Brother.
Was it the same episode? Wow, what an episode.
Because there was a bounty on Hogan's head, and Vampiro was the only one who warned him. So he's the wrestler of the future, brother.
Oh my god. Kill me.
He's a Hulkamaniac.
I wanna be a Hulkamaniac.
So as Vampiro's coming out, Tony Schiavone hypes up the upcoming Human Torch match.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's an Inferno match. You have to light your opponent on fire.
That still warrants a what the fuck.
Fair. I did know during Hogan's entrance, he has, like, virtually no red and yellow lighting anymore. Like, there is some at the very top, but, like, there's none on the crowd or on him at all.
I don't care enough.
Well, he's also coming out in his Fun B shirt.
It took me a second for what Fun B was. F-U-N-B. Fuck you, New Blood.
Whoa, Emily. We can't say that on television.
Sorry. I apologize.
Also, as Hulk Hogan's coming out, I think it's Tony Schiavone or Scott Hudson's like, you know, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, call him whatever, but he's the biggest name in the history of the industry. I'm like, so then it matters what the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
You can't say, we don't know what his name is, but he's the biggest name.
So he must not be the biggest name if you don't know his name. What the fuck? What in the fuck, friends?
Vampiro hits some kicks to start, and Hulk Hogan is not interested in taking bumps in this match.
I can't.
Neither is Vampiro.
No, neither of them are willing to work. And really, Vampiro should be the one working. Let's be real.
Hogan is knocked to the floor, lands on his feet, and like generally kind of thrown around, including a chair shot to the back, which I think he maybe drops to a knee for. But this is also where we noted the audio is very fake, as it's a chair shot. Mm-hmm. You should hear that, and there's like no sound for that. Like, what the fuck?
I'm wondering if the crowd was exceptionally dead during the show, and they had to pipe in more than like anticipated.
Yeah, like the people around it are hyped, but like that's always kind of the case. Yeah. If you brawl near somebody, they're going to be excited.
Yeah.
The two keep going around ringside. Hogan punches Vampiro over the announce table, which just kind of gets knocked over. Hogan whips Vampiro and then chokes him with the belt in the ring. Mark Madden with the line, "You won't see cluster finishes here in WCW."
Huh? What does he think a cluster finish is?
I don't know, but they're like, oh, that's a new term for that. I mean, it's just a clusterfuck finish, but yes, you will.
We have seen clusterfuck finishes. How many episodes deep in this podcast are we? Every fucking episode.
It's not quite a cluster finish, but the main event tonight is pretty damn close to it.
Yeah, there is a cluster finish on every single show. If we're establishing cluster finish as a clusterfuck, single show we've
watched. Match ends in a cluster finish. Yes. I mean, I guess there is a finish. So,
yeah, but that doesn't matter. Like, a clusterfuck finish is just, what the fuck is going on? Oh, somebody won.
Yeah, Mark Madden then, for some reason, notes that he's orgasmic.
Ew, what? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Ew.
Hogan bites Vampiro in the corner, and at this point, I was like, have either of these men hit like a grapple move or just strikes?
Just strikes.
Hogan stops Vampiro's dick, then get a big boot, leg drop, and punches? Hulk, that's where you go for the pin. Billy Kidman then runs out and grabs Vampiro's blowtorch.
Yes, he hits Hogan.
Not a euphemism.
No.
An actual
grabs the blowtorch, which, and hits Hogan with it.
I don't know enough about blowtorches, but this looked like a little fucking creme brulee one.
It did kind of look like a creme brulee torch.
He hits one shot on Hogan, which is enough to knock him out, and Vampiro pins Hogan.
Delicate flower Hulk Hogan, apparently.
Fucking last week, he got pinned off like a little weak bullshit chair shot, too. But then we get Sting immediately making the save. Sting hits a Scorpion Death Drop, which like immediately wakes up Hogan.
Yeah, he pops up real quick.
And then the bird is here.
Bird.
Hogan and Sting hot dog to end the match.
They do
segment.
Some really awkward little like half shoulder hugs.
Yeah, Jesus, guys,
what
figure
the
out.
Fuck?
I wrote originally, this is one of the most forgettable shows. This is one of the most incoherent shows we've watched.
It doesn't know what it wants to be, which is so unfortunate because we have 20 days until the next pay per view.
Like this is. More so than the one that literally didn't have wrestling for the first hour.
Yes.
This show does not seem interested in having wrestling on it.
No.
It seems like I guess we gotta fucking have a match to warrant the thing we want to do.
Exactly. I don't think that WCW has been interested in wrestling for a little while.
Well, relatedly, outside, the Filthy Animals beat up Norman, Smiley, and Ralphus for fucking up their car, but the Misfits in action join the brawl and clear the Filthy Animals who just run off into the night. I guess fuck their car.
Yeah, they didn't. They never needed a car. They can run.
Again, why were they here? They didn't do. I mean, I guess.
Did they even enter the arena?
I don't think Billy Kidman was part of these segments. I could be wrong.
Well, Kidman was just in the ring.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think he was with any of the car segments. Because I'm trying to think, like, why the fuck were they even here? They did nothing on this show.
No, I don't think he was.
They literally just show up. Their car gets fucked up and they leave.
Yep.
So part of this is Conan taking out Ralphus. General Hugh G. Rection tells Major Guns, okay, you know, you got to give him mouth to mouth.
Why? You just knocked him out. Why are we bringing him back to life?
Major Guns doesn't want to do it. It's like, it's Ralphus. I don't want it. Like, fair.
Yeah.
So she goes down to start doing it. And before she gets there, Ralphus sticks his tongue out like a dirty old fucker.
Ew. It was really icky.
Which is just a joke taken from The Sandlot.
Yeah, like verbatim. But yeah. It was just, it was icky. There's something of, like, I love Ralphus. Yeah. I will defend Ralphus till the day I die. But this was just like,
because Ralphus is just, you know, generally a creep, but this is the moment where, like, oh, you're a bit of a pervert too, aren't
right.
you?
Right. Right.
Yeah, maybe Ralphus should be my MVP. I don't know.
Did you give him your MVP?
Well, not anymore.
Oh no. Why did you give him your MVP? He didn't do anything.
Who did, Emily? But yeah, after our Sandlot joke, it's time for the main event. It is Kevin Nash versus Jeff Jarrett, either for the vacant title or for Jarrett's title, because I've seen both accounts online.
For the world title, yeah. I guess, whomever may hold it, because it shouldn't be either of these men right now. It should be vacant.
No, Flair should have it.
If we're going to establish that Flair cannot defend the title, then it should have been vacant. It should be vacant.
Well, and then these two would be fighting for the vacant title.
Sure.
Which might be the case, but yeah, who the fuck knows. Tony Schiavone hypes up the Lakers-Blazers game starting soon. For some reason, Kevin Nash does this match in jeans. I think it's because of the end angle. He didn't want to mess up his gear.
Valid. Is that valid?
Russo and security come out. Russo attacks the referee, so now he's the referee. Nash dominates Jeff Jarrett early with slams. Russo makes a one count and then gives Nash crotch chops on a pin attempt. Like, yep, you're not going to win. Why are we doing this match? Chair shot to Nash, but Nash is immediately up. Apparently, it's false count anywhere, so Russo refuses to count on the floor, too. Nash corners Russo, so Jeff Jarrett hits a belt shot on Nash, but Nash kicks out of a fair count. Actually, not a quick count here. Hmm. So with that, there's a bit of mixed messaging. Because Tony Schiavone is like, oh man, this is great, the relaxation of the rules. Oh, but it is bullshit that Vince Russo's being unfair.
Right. Pick one.
Yeah.
Fucking pick one. Are we happy that it's lax, or are we mad that it's lax? Pick one.
Vince Russo then maces Kevin Nash. Jeff Jarrett hits the stroke, and we get Scott Steiner's music hitting, then stopping, and then coming back in.
Yeah, it kind of killed the surprise.
Steiner tries to save Nash, but is stopped by security and is maced by Russo. He's then handcuffed both hands to the ropes. Nash goes to attack Russo to make him count, but Jeff Jarrett actually kicks out of the pin. Nash then goes to powerbomb Russo on the floor. And oh my god, how did it happen twice, Emily? How did it happen again?
I don't understand. How many times did it have to happen for them to realize this is a bad idea?
They do the blood drop, and they miss again. With Kevin Nash,
again.
He's 7 foot fucking tall.
How are you missing him? He's a very easy target.
So Nash at least backs into this one a little bit. Jeff Jarrett hits a guitar shot on Nash, and Russo counts the pin. Jeff Jarrett celebrates, and Eric Bischoff comes out to hype up the pay-per-view for the NBA crowd tuning in right now. Russo says he has one thing to say to the people at home and Nash, whatever. Bite us, baby. Like,
got him.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, we're done. Oh, wait, no, sorry. We need to interview Jeff Jarrett. I'm the chosen one.
All right, cool, thanks. Okay, now we're done. No, we're not. Wait, no.
No, we are done there.
At that point, okay. The show obviously ended too early, and they could not just, like, cut out because it was going right into the game. So there was just this weird gap of time that they had to fill that they've never had to fill before. So everyone was just like, let's just keep talking in a company with people who never want to, you know, not have the last word. Everybody has to have something to say.
Yeah, I think this was them stalling for the NBA playoff,
yes.
You know, thing to start, which rest in peace inside the NBA, and shout out to all those big old women down in San Antonio.
I don't know anything that you're saying.
It's good. Don't worry.
Okay.
Emily, thoughts on the main event?
I don't fucking passable. Know, man.
I mean,
is it passable? This whole show
match
is quality like
wise.
This show is just like riding on a C minus right now. Like,
so, that's generous.
You think so? Well, because in my school D was failing, so I'm thinking like the lowest grade
no,
you can
F
have
is
was still passing.
F is for failure.
Well, not in
D is you're skating by, and we're not happy about it.
That's what C minus was. Maybe that was just my dad. I don't know. Either way, it is just on the brink of passing. It's barely there. We don't necessarily want to pass it, but here we are.
I think going through it again, this is one of the worst Nitros.
Yes.
This
is hard.
There's nothing. There's nothing going. And it almost, this is the first one where it feels like they know there's nothing.
Yes.
And I don't.
There's nothing to save this.
Yeah. I don't know if they just kind of like took the L because they're like, all right, well, we're halfway to a pay-per-view. It's probably going to sell like shit. you know, half our crowd's not even know what time we're on. And I wonder if they just punted this week, and maybe they'll do something good next week, but
we'll see.
Next up is not next week. Next up is Thunder. Oh, why are we doing a Thunder? That's weird.
No. I don't want to do any of this.
Oh no, we're back to this.
These shows just make it so difficult. Like, it took us 3 sittings to get through this episode, and I think that we understand why now.
A little bit.
There was nothing keeping my attention, so obviously I fell asleep.
We also made poor choices about when to watch it.
Yes, we did. It's been a very crazy busy 2 weeks.
Yeah, would you believe it? 2 people who have been, like, weirdly sick over the last month or so, who get a new puppy, and trying to put out 3 to 4 episodes a month. It's like, oh, this is difficult to time manage.
Yeah, a little bit. We got there, though. We're doing it.
And yeah, we are doing it. We still got it. The timeline works out too perfectly for us to fuck up the timeline.
We can't finish it. We can't fuck it up now. But before we even talk about the ending, we need to go into Best Bit, Worst Bit, and MVP.
Yeah, we do.
We can't stall it any longer because I have been scrolling through my notes. I don't have a Best Bit.
No.
I'm struggling.
Emily, I'm giving my Best Bit to the Scott Steiner promo.
That's valid. That was a good promo.
Yeah. You want to piggyback on that?
I can piggyback on that.
Emily, do you have a worst bit?
We can't say the whole show.
I'm saying the whole show.
No! We can only use that so sparingly.
It's all of it. There's the fact that we had to scrape for, you know, an old reliable Best at Sex. Here's how you know it wasn't even that good a promo. I'm not splicing it in. It was fine. Like, it was like, you
That's
know.
That's true. That is true. That is a tell.
It's kind of like if you get a bag of pretzels and they're already like a little stale. Where you're like, I wanted the pretzels, so I'm getting what I wanted, but it's not like quite as good as it could have been.
That's fair. I'm still gonna eat the pretzels. Yeah.
But I am going the whole show for worst bit.
Okay.
Honestly, the only saving grace is laughing at the incompetence of production.
So that was kind of my worst bit is the blood drop / the ending as a whole. Because the ending was like, please let this fucking show end. And it never fucking... It wouldn't end. But then the blood drop fucked up again. So, like, I don't know. It was that whole last segment really killed me.
I don't know. I can enjoy laughing at this company, so...
It's just exhausting at this point. It's not even funny right now. It's just like, guys.
And then it's always a struggle on these types of shows. Emily, who is your MVP?
Reed Flair.
Yeah?
He put in the work. Who did you find for MVP?
Fuck it. Lifetime Achievement Award, GDP.
Oh, come on.
Dude, there's nobody good on this show. Honestly, somebody who I had, like, Terry Taylor. Why not? No.
I give it to Reed, you give it to Terry.
No, GDP is still getting over with the crowd. And look, he did fine. I have no complaints about GDP in this show. That's the bar. I have no complaints.
The bar is underground.
It was Ralphus. I'm like, yeah, you know what? In hindsight, maybe not Ralphus.
Wow. What a show. What a time to be alive.
Hey, I'm sure the B show is going to have a lot more effort.
Yeah, for sure.
The only thing that maybe it has going for it is like, shh, no one's paying attention. We can wrestle good.
Maybe. This is going to be like our practice time.
Yeah, minus the main event match, I don't know what the hell to expect on this upcoming Thunder, so it'll be interesting.
Whew. It'll be something. It'll be something, that's for sure.
But until we get to the next Thunder, you can listen to all our back catalog, including a couple previous Thunders we've done. All that can be found everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud, but including YouTube, in case you missed that memo last couple time or two.
We're YouTubers now.
Yeah, it is literally just... You know, a still image with the audio playing. We're not doing video episodes.
No, that's a whole other level of production that we just don't have the time, budget, or energy for.
Well, you can also follow us on all the social medias at Butts in the Pod, except for Facebook, where it's Butts in the Seats Podcast.
If you feel so inclined, you can also find us over on Patreon. $5 a month will get you an extra episode every 3 weeks, plus some, you know, other random stuff that I splice in here and there. Patreon.com/Butts in the Seats.
Yeah, the WrestleMania... timeline isn't going as planned.
Listen.
But the extra episodes are fully on schedule, so we're good there.
I'm working on it.
Destination X is recently out, and upcoming next is the final part of Hogan Knows Best Season 1,
Woo!
Brother. Are you into 16-year-olds? We got the show for you.
Oh, my God.
But I think let's wind this one down. A mild apology for the negativity on this one, but if you watch the show, you'll get it.
Yeah, they'll understand.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we get to the next Thunder?
Let's just be done. I can't do this.
I think it's our final Thunder until the final Thunder.
Oh, shit. Okay. I mean, that's something to look forward to. That's something to talk about.
But we're getting ever so closer to the Great American Bash, which I've been told is one of the weirdest shows of this year. And that's saying something. So
I'm so interested.
I know. We're working our way towards there. We'll see what happens on Thunder. But until then, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.